Blog Talk Radio.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com, Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or show topics, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. This is Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me, Tiffany Camilla, on Get Deep and Keep It Real this Saturday afternoon. Yes, a different time and a different day, but had a very special, important topic that's really hot out in society and in the media today that I wanted to discuss. And I thought that, hey, we needed to discuss it sooner than later. And I'm very privileged and honored to have a very special guest on our show today. And we're going to be talking about something very serious, domestic violence. This is not going to be an easy show. It's not going to be funny. We're definitely going to get deep, and we're definitely going to keep it very real. But this is something that I felt like really needed to be discussed immediately because there's just so many different layers to this issue, and I really feel like for so long we as a society have been complacent, and the victims have been voiceless, and so now is a time to really speak out about this, and we're going to discuss whether or not both parties are a victim in some way or another in this whole scenario. And yes, we're going to be discussing the Ray Rice incident, but we're also, in a more general sense, going to be discussing domestic violence in general in our society as a whole here in the United States, and then breaking it down a little further in the African-American community. So sit back, relax, grab some tea, or you might need a glass of wine, something a little bit stronger, because it's going to be very adult in here. We're going to get real deep. And please, if you have any questions, any comments, or something you need to get off your chest concerning this, please give us a call, 347-215-9738, 347-215-9738, or hit me up on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter. That's Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook and Twitter, and same thing at Gmail. If you want to send an email, it's Get Deep and Keep It Real, all one word. So at gmail.com. Without further ado, let's get it started, and I would like to welcome my guest, Ms. Sunny Slaughter.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me today out of your busy schedule.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for having me on. I am so honored to be on your show. I've been listening to all of the great shows that you've been raising awareness about various issues, so it's a privilege and an honor to be on the show with you today to talk about this very serious crisis that we have in America and the issue and cause of domestic violence. So thanks so much for having me on board.
You're welcome. First of all, can you just give my listeners a little bit, whatever you would choose to share, a little bit of background about yourself and exactly what you do for as a great service to our country and to our community?
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I am a federally certified law enforcement instructor with the Department of Homeland Security Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. That means I actually train law enforcement across the country, specifically on domestic violence and what to look for and how to stay safe and how to recognize victims and how to write their reports and how to testify in court. I am also a member of ILETA, which is the International Law Enforcement Educators and Trainers Association. I am not a sworn law enforcement officer, but I do have my own criminal consulting firm based here in Birmingham, Alabama, and I have been working with victims of domestic violence. I'm a nationally recognized expert on domestic violence and human trafficking, but most importantly, I'm a survivor. So my expertise crosses all areas, especially that of being victim and survivor. And when I talk about domestic violence, I really like to give a full perspective on what we are seeing across the country and as it relates to victims, violence, and legislation. So I'm also a member of the White House strategic planning and team on various issues, including human trafficking, but I've also been instrumental in raising awareness and working on the Violence Against Women Act with our current Vice President Biden, who actually started that when he was Senator Joe Biden. So I'm privileged to have a various aspects of domestic violence.
Wow. That was some stuff I didn't even know about. So I'm just like sitting here speechless at the moment. Wow. I don't even know where to begin here. I mean, there's just, it's really not even enough time in the show to go into all the different layers that go into this domestic violence issue. And I'm sure I may have to have you on the show again. But I don't even know where to start. It's just, wow. Yeah.
Well, let's just start with something that is a lot of people don't know, that today is the 20th anniversary of the Violence Against Women Act that was signed into law. It is one of Joe Biden's most proudest legislative achievements. And, you know, it involves women who needed to have a voice legislatively as it relates to the violence that was being perpetrated upon more women than men, but women are not the only victims of domestic violence. Men are victims of domestic violence too, and we really have to have a cross conversation about domestic violence and the totality of violence in our communities, because so many people and so many folks who are victims remain silent, and particularly men remain silent about the violence that is perpetrated upon them. And women who have children and men who have children and families where children are who see and witness domestic violence is growing. It is between 3 and 10 million children each year who see and witness domestic violence and who sometimes a conversation that we don't want to have, they actually are the perpetrators of this violence for one reason or another. So this is a true epidemic that we are still trying to get our hands on and a stronghold on 20 years later. We're still trying to make sense of what is happening in American homes every single day.
Wow.
Every day.
Yes. Yeah. And I like the points that you brought out, because I think that many of us don't recognize it or realize or are educated to know that our children are seeing these things or experiencing these things, and sometimes it can flip on us and turn out to be the perpetrators of this violence to us as well.
And I actually had a friend a few weeks ago who was an advocate for domestic violence, and her name was Anita LaFay Washington. And Anita had survived being shot multiple times, including in the head, by her then husband at her son's school. She survived that in 2008, and she became a staunch advocate and a voice here in the state of Alabama and across the country. She was moving around, and 3 weeks ago she was murdered by her own son. So we have cross-contamination of domestic violence when people are exposed, and we've got to have these conversations. We've got to have them. And you mentioned Ray Rice, and that is what the big conversation is. So I think we should talk about that because it is on the national radar with the NFL and Ray Rice. Did we really need to see the videos to think that domestic violence was bad? Unfortunately,
right.
Many people did have to see the video to understand,
yes.
Okay, well, this was more than just a fight. This was a serious incident. But my question then becomes why?
Exactly.
Why did we have to see a visual to understand the effects of something that we have been talking about for more than 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
But we actually
Why are we in such denial that it really happened? Even within our own homes, you know what, I'm going to be real transparent right now and just say that, yes, it's happened to me. Do I talk about it? Not so much. If you ask me about it, I'll tell you. No, it's not something that I want to share and let everybody know. But, yes, but I think even within our own selves and our own communities, we're being very dishonest with ourselves and with each other. And as women, when we don't support her, even if we don't know the whole story, even if she did put her hands on him first, because I don't advocate violence either way, you know,
exactly.
Wrong is wrong. She shouldn't have touched him. He shouldn't touch her, but he definitely shouldn't have He definitely shouldn't have punched her in the face like that. Come on now, really? And so why do we need to see that?
And we do, as a society, we respond more to the visual and not just what someone says, but the problem then becomes emotional abuse is so much stronger sometimes than the physical abuse. And the emotional and the psychological trauma that victims experience during domestic violence, and I say during domestic violence because relationships, and this is the difference between domestic violence and other crimes. Domestic violence, the reason why we have to have very specific laws, because these are relationships, consenting relationships between two people, and they start out just as that, as a relationship. And the love that one person has for another can sometimes and oftentimes make them blinded to the reality of what's really going on, and they are in denial. Many people are in denial. A lot of people are in denial, not just those in the relationship, but those that we call bystanders. And bystanders contribute unknowingly to the continued victimization because they allow it to go on without ever saying anything. And as we have these conversations, what I can and will say is that, first of all, not every victim should speak out publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Not every victim can speak out publicly. And
Right.
not every victim will speak out publicly. And for those three things alone, those of us that can, and that would be me, those of us that will, and that would be me, and those of us that should, and that would be me, those of us that have a duty to, and that would be me, we must. We must be a voice for those that cannot speak for themselves. And it doesn't matter what their position in life is. I know people that serve on the bench, people in law enforcement, people in the medical profession, people who are educators, those who are homeless, those who are helpless. Anyone and everyone has the potential to be a victim of violence. It just depends on how long. And have an opportunity to change.
I have to go to this level and go here, and I have to ask you two questions. The first question is, why does it appear, because I hate stereotypes, but I'm just going to say, why does it appear that there are many of us, men and women, in the African-American community who are faulting and shaming the wife and supporting Ray Rice? Now, I'm going to say for myself personally, on a man and woman level, I think they both were wrong, but especially him. And number two, I think he should have just came out, you know, and said what he did. But I mainly, a lot of this, I blame the NFL because this behavior has been going on and on and on and on. And I also blame society. This behavior has been going on a very long time, you know, for years. And also, now I also wonder sometimes if this was somewhat a low-level race issue as well, because you and I both know if she would have been white and he would have been black, he would have been out of there a long time ago, number one.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, did we not take this as seriously because of the fact that she was a woman of color and not a white woman? Are we constantly devaluing our community, our society? And not just, I'm not talking about society as a whole. I'm talking about even within our own community.
Yes. And I just gave you one answer. Yes to all of that.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, we don't like to, and I say we, society, does really not like to put barriers on issues and causes and situations like this because we don't want to talk about something that's very important that does affect so many things, and that's the issue of race. We don't like to define domestic violence as an issue that is has some specific components to race and culture, but it does have some very significant components when you start talking about domestic violence in the African American community as opposed to domestic violence overall. I participated in a group a long time ago with the Institute on Domestic Violence in the African American Community. It's called IDVAC, and IDVAC is a part of the University of Minnesota. And we really studied domestic violence in the African American community and how race and culture and ethnicity and our own in societal issues affect how we respond to human violence and how we respond to domestic violence in familial situations between men and women and women and men and families and children. And there is a great difference. We judge our own more harshly than we do others. And then other societies and other ethnicities and cultures, they judge us more harshly as well. But we don't tend to give the benefit of the doubt of all of the history involved and why violence looks different in our community and why we are sometimes more accepting of violent issues and domestic violence and those type of cases than others. We are very judgmental, and I say we are judgmental more of our own sometimes than others are. And it's a shame to say it, but, you know, you said that we were going to get down and get real, and this is about as real as it's going to get with some folks and how we are doing this. There was significant outrage after the video was seen, but the outrage should have started before the video was seen.
Thank
many
you.
People, you know, when they said, the lady that created the hashtag, Why I Stayed, she's
right.
an African-American woman who realized that there were so many people that were attacking Jhené Rice. And I heard so many folks that said, oh, well, she's only staying for the money. Really?
Right.
Because if she's dead, how much of that money do you think that she can spend?
Thank you.
Because
Thank
with that punch, and when she hit her head, as the video shows, you know, she could have sustained a concussion, blood clot, anything that would have not just triggered it then. And I never heard them say that she went to the hospital, which was some
right.
interesting dynamics for me as well, that she was punched in the head like that. She was actually unconscious. And when law enforcement arrived on the scene, and they may or may not have taken her to the hospital, but I have not seen that portion of it yet, that is something that is mandatory. Anytime someone sustains an injury to the head, law enforcement, whether they want to go or not, unless they sign that release, because had she passed that same day and there are incidents, medical designated, diagnosed incidents where you can have head trauma and die within hours. It's possible. It has already happened, but you never heard about that portion of it. And that would have helped in determining some of this case, because she would have essentially been away from the alleged perpetrator. And I'm saying alleged, even though we know that he did hit her. At that time, it was an alleged incident until they saw the actual video footage. And she would have been removed from him, and she would have been thoroughly questioned, or she should have been thoroughly questioned. And then, I also have some questions for the Atlantic City DA and the judge in this particular case. And for me, that's personal, because I am a native of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question about their domestic violence laws, and I know there has been some questions have been raised as to their handling of this. I know they should have seen the tape. If nobody else saw it, the district attorney should have seen the tape, because they should have asked for one and they would have known, because every casino in the state of New Jersey has cameras in the elevator.
Right.
And I know that because I used to work for the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement.
Wow. You are educating us. And, ooh, girl, thank you so much. Yes. Thank you, Miss Sunny. I appreciate you.
So we have a lot of work to do about educating the public about our response. And let me say some of the reasons why people stay. They stay for all sorts of reasons. And it can be a man that stays, it can be a woman that stays, but a lot of times people stay out of fear.
Mm.
And I'm the subject matter expert for the news here in Alabama on all of the stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, and I've even been on CNN. And I always say, if somebody tells you that they will kill you, believe them.
Right.
Believe them. Don't believe them the second time that they tell you. Believe them the first time that they tell you. Because the probability, because they've said it, means that they could actually do it and that they've thought about it. We tend to take it lightly, but I always tell people, don't take that threat lightly. Even if it's people say, oh, well, it was in the heat of an argument. Mm-hmm. Well, in the heat of another argument, it can actually be fact. So always take that to truth. And then there are other reasons people stay, for financial reasons. They may not have any place else to go. There may be children involved. And when you have children involved, please remember that just because you have a domestic violence incident, if two parents are listed on the birth certificate, that does not mean that you can just take the child and leave. You cannot do that. You actually have to go to court, to family court, and have a judge make that determination that you can actually keep the child away from the other parent. There is no automatic in that. So when people say, oh, well, they should just leave, well, you can actually be charged, criminally charged, and particularly in some states, with just taking children and keeping them away from another parent. If that parent is listed on that birth certificate, you have to have some strategic planning about how to respond, particularly if that child has not actually been the victim of any direct violence. Just because you've been the victim or the perpetrator doesn't mean that that will actually carry over to the child. Protection orders don't necessarily carry over directly to the child. You have to go to court for that. And you don't go to court right away, like the same day as the incident. Every state has a process in place, which was one of the things that the NFL, when they put their policy in place, was, it sounded good to some people on the surface. I immediately said, and publicly, that it has holes, because you cannot create an overarching policy for domestic violence and not know the ramifications and have some collective bargaining that goes along with each of the teams and a clear understanding of what that policy needs to be reflective of, because each team has their own things that they have to do. And when you have a union involved, all of that has to go through them.
Wow.
So a policy cannot just be generated and then it just happen like that.
Wow.
Because I also used to work for the unions.
Okay. You're really educating me and my listeners, and I really appreciate this. This is just wonderful. And I already see right now I'm going to have to do another show with you because there's just so many different things we still haven't even discussed that I'm about to try to squeeze in like 5 minutes. But
I'm sorry.
One other. No, don't be sorry, because this is what needed to be said. This is what needed to be heard. And not everybody is educating us the way we need to be educated. And so two things I really want to go back to is, one thing I just want to say off the bat right now is, we are so busy sitting in judgment of Ray Rice and his wife and of each other. We need to stop the judgment. We really do, because we're not living their lives. And then I also just want to point out is, why did we have to wait until a Ray Rice incident happened to be outraged, and especially within our own community? Because we know this is happening every day to the person who works at McDonald's, to the person who's in the military, to the lawyer, to the doctor, to the judge, whether male or female. Why are we waiting until it becomes a media incident, a celebrity
right.
incident, to be outraged? We see this going on in our churches, in our synagogues, in our temples. Why are we being so complacent and so silent on this issue? We as people, we as women, we deserve support.
Exactly.
Protection.
And stop asking why the victim stays. That,
yes.
that should never be the
exactly.
question. It should be always
right.
why did the perp? And the perp
yes.
is the perpetrator. And when I teach, I also teach domestic violence intervention classes. So I work with batterers. And I did want to say this. Before we close, a lot of people have wondered, can their marriage be saved? Yes, it
yes.
can. Many yes. marriages have been saved after incidents of violence, be it the first incident or the 10th incident. But the people have to work towards it, and they have to be willing to change. They have to want to change, and they have to undergo counseling. And counseling
mm-hmm.
is not something that you undergo together. You have to
right.
go to counseling individually. The victim needs to go to victim's counseling. The perpetrator needs to go to perpetrator counseling. And only after a significant amount of time has passed do they need to then go to counseling together, because going to counseling together can be extremely dangerous. We call
Effort.
Them lethality indicators, where there is always an enhancement of violence that continues, different things. They might start out with the verbal abuse, and then it starts out with physical abuse. And then the physical abuse escalates to physical abuse with weapons, physical abuse with the threat of weapons. Those are what we call escalating factors, lethality indicators, and sometimes can predetermine whether a murder, suicide, or a murder can take place. And people have to be very, very aware of that. The other thing I say, and this is definitely not going to sit well with some folks, but we're talking in the reality and keeping it real, faith-based, our pastors, our clergy, our churches, our mosques, our synagogues, our places where we worship, okay, it's all fine and well, but unless you are a trained professional that works with domestic violence and you have been trained in domestic violence, you should not be giving advice to domestic violence victims. Sometimes our clergy, our people who we worship under and we worship with, can sometimes not give us the best advice, because they are not given legal advice. They are given spiritual
right.
advice. And I am not saying that you do not need spiritual advice. What I am
right.
saying is that spiritual advice needs to be quite general. You do not need to have counseling together until you are in a safe point in your relationship, because that can be dangerous.
And
very,
I don't want to cut
very
you off,
dangerous.
But I'm short on time. but long-winded on some crap I need to say really fast.
Okay.
I'm going to say some stuff that's about to piss some people off, and I don't care. I'm going to say that going on your premise of who needs counseling and help, and I'm going to be very specific about the case of Ray Rice and his wife, Janae. They both need help. They both need counseling, and separately and together. And then I'm also going to say, because they both have issues, because
mm-hmm.
any woman who gets knocked out like that and then marries that man the next day, you have some issues going on with you. So, and her family and his family, to even allow to say, oh, yeah, y'all can come together. So everybody up in that camp needs some counseling. The NFL needs some counseling. The NFL needs to start implementing counseling. And I don't know what kind of counseling they have going on right now, but it's not working. So
right.
they need to step back and have mandatory counseling for everyone who's coming, the wife and the husband, girlfriend, whoever, who's coming into the NFL. And constantly have yearly training for everybody on this. The next thing I want to say is that we need to be, as a society, we need to be more accountable to what's going on, to our players, our entertainers, and to within ourselves and within our own communities, and not just put it up on entertainers and sports figures and such like that when it comes to issues like this. And then the last thing I'm going to say is totally kind of off the subject, but kind of the same. They are putting my boy Adrian Peterson on blast. I don't really know him like that, but corporal punishment and domestic violence are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And his method may have been a bit extreme, but I'm old school, and my grandmother used to whip my ass. And, yes, I said it. My grandma used to whip my ass with a switch, and I didn't like it at the time, but I feel I'm a better person for it. Corporal punishment, is it for everyone? No. But should it be thrown out the window? No. Should we manage it a little bit better? Maybe so. Should that man's career be ruined because of this? No. He wasn't trying to hide it. He said what he did. Was he extreme? Yes. Should he have counseling and maybe a fine? Yes. And going back to Ray Rice, should he be let back into the NFL? Yes. Immediately in the next year or two? No. But in the future, maybe so, if he proves himself worthy to be let back in, because we all know that there are people who have done far worse who are back in. And I feel like everyone deserves a second chance, with as long as they've done the work to deserve that second chance. And I'm so sorry I've taken up a lot of the time, but we're basically out of time, and I'm going over, but I want you to just give some your closing comments. And we're definitely going to have to do this again.
Thank you so much. I just want to tell people there's help available. Wherever you are, contact your local police department, contact a shelter or victim services that provide domestic violence services and intervention, and know that the conversation is continuing. October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I'm hoping that the NFL will respond appropriately. People should wear purple to raise awareness, to raise funds, and to keep the light on for somebody that needs to find a way out. Thank you so much for having me on, Tiffany. I appreciate it.
And, Sunny, did you want to share the name of your organization, or if people had questions for you, some way they can reach out to you?
They most certainly can. You can go to my website. It's called Sunny Slaughter Consulting, and it's www.sunnyslaughter.com. That's one word, sunnyslaughter.com. My telephone number is 205-538-1422, or you can go to my website and leave a message. I am also an expert in human trafficking, and I'll be talking about human trafficking and hosting an event in October in Miami. So come and join me as we raise awareness about more than the violence in our homes, but the violence in our communities and all over. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for having me on.
You're welcome. Well, Sunny, I'm going to put you on Front Street right now, and I'm going to, number one, invite you to please come back, because, first of all, I'm just going to say this to the listeners. This is why I need you guys to support my show. and to listen and to call in and sponsors so that I can advocate for more time, because this is an issue that we need to talk about more. This was not enough time. So I say that to say, Sunny, if you feel like if this continues to drag on and you feel like we really need to, even if it doesn't drag on, if you feel like you need to get some stuff off your chest about domestic violence, you know, you're always welcome to come back to my show. We can talk about it again. As far as your human trafficking, that's something I definitely want to be educated more on and know more about. So I invite you, when your schedule allows, I would love to have you back on the show to discuss that as well.
Thank you so much. And definitely to our listeners, please support the show. And as we raise funds, we will raise awareness about your show, Tiffany, and get more sponsors and assistance to you, because we definitely need more time to talk about the issues that affect our communities and all communities. Thanks again for having me on.
Yes, thank you. Peace, love, and happiness, and you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Tiffany Camilla on Get Deep and Keep It Real. Let's please thank our guest once again, Sunny Slaughter. She spoke with us today about domestic violence. And if you want to hear more about this topic, please hit me up on Facebook and Twitter and say, yes, Tiffany Camilla, we want to hear more about domestic violence. We want to have Sunny back on the show. And please support my show so that I can advocate for more time to be able to spend with you discussing issues such as this. Next week, I'm not going to be on the air until probably Thursday or Friday. I'm having problems booking studio space at that time. The place where I normally have my studio space is not going to be available. They're under construction. So look to hear from me probably more like Friday or maybe next Saturday. And if not, definitely you will hear from me the week after. So, in the meantime, hit me up on Facebook or Twitter, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and hit me up with your comments. Let me know what you want to hear from me, what kind of show topics, and just support the show. Love, peace, and happiness. Have a great, successful, positive, productive week, and keep yourself healthy and informed. Love you.